Hello, everyone. Welcome, Primecast listeners. I am so excited to invite you to episode 18. We have a very special guest joining us in this first segment, the one, the only, Matt Wilson. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't think I'm a special guest anymore. I think I'm kind of a regular. What do you think?
This is true. You're not technically a special guest, but you're always special in my heart.
I'm not even sure I was ever a special guest,
Yeah,
but
yeah, I'm not really sure a guest. It's technically your show, but
now I'm pretty regular, I think. So
yeah.
it's now it's gonna be like, oh, he's back again. See how he puts his foot in his mouth this time, right?
I'm sure there are people waiting on the edge of their seats.
I'm gonna try not to say anything about anything.
There's so much to dive into right now. Gen Con is upon us.
It is. Gen Con is nigh. We just shipped out our last freight to Indianapolis today, which for anybody listening is the Friday before Gen Con. And then by the time everybody's hearing this, we'll probably either be on the way to the airport or on a plane and getting ready to set up the booth.
Hopefully they'll be on their way to Gen Con too.
So it's exciting. Almost there.
So we've had some announcements about what's going to be there. Magnus and Invictus look amazing.
I don't think that we actually overhyped them. They're beautiful models. The sculpts are amazing. The paint jobs are awesome when you see them. And I think they're a great way to commemorate the 20th anniversary of War Machines. I don't think though that you really grasp how big Invictus is until you see him in person. But once you get a good look at the physical model and standing there next to Magnus, it kind of puts things in perspective.
He's huge. And now Magnus and Invictus will be available at Gen Con, but also online, right?
Yes, Magnus and Invictus will be available to order starting next Thursday when the convention starts. They are a privateer exclusive, but they're not limited, and so we'll start shipping them out right away.
And we have some Magnus and Invictus talk coming up at the end of our next segment. So make sure to stay tuned all the way to the end so we get a little Magnus and Invictus talk.
Exciting.
We've got some other exciting previews at Gen Con as well.
Yeah, we've managed to get a small amount of the Dusk House Kallus starters there, as well as the Southern Creel's Brine Blood Marauders, which is a lot to say in one breath.
Say it five times fast now.
So yeah, we've got those at Gen Con. They won't be available online. They're just previewing at the show, so we wouldn't sell them online until after they release to retail. But we'll be shipping both of the starters really soon. They're being packed right now as we speak, and we should have an official announcement when we ship the international orders to distribution and a final street date very, very soon.
So if you want them first, you gotta have a Gen Con ninja lined up.
Yes.
And House Kallus and Brine Buds are gonna be out together.
So we're attacking our schedule from two different directions right now, now that we have our new production built out. We've got our manufacturing partner working on the House Kallus expansion right now, and the individual Warjacks and Hazeroth that are actually coming between the starter and the expansion. And then we're producing the Brine Bloods internally. And pretty soon, all that stuff is going to kind of meet up. And in theory, we'll close the gap on the schedule and hopefully start working ahead.
That's going to be exciting, having five new Mark IV armies on the tabletop and a sixth one in the wings.
And for anybody who's coming to the Privateer Press booth next week, you'll get a first look at some of the Shadowflame Shard models on display. Shadowflame is really going to be a cool army. All the dragon warriors and dragon stuff, it's great.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then for anybody playing in the Summer of Plunder Legendary event, we've got the exclusive pirate-themed defenses, which are pretty neat.
I want them so bad. So those won't be for sale?
Nope, the pirate themed defenses are exclusive event prizes. So
What?
they're appearing at Gen Con first, and then we'll roll them out in future OP support kits and other events, but they're not going to be a standard sale item.
Oh, that's super cool. So how is the Summer of Plunder going to work? How does somebody get their hands on those awesome new defenses? I'm kind of jealous now. I need to get involved.
Well, I'm sure there'll be event opportunities soon. But first thing to do for Summer of Plunder is register for the event to secure your spot. But we're running it three times during the convention, so there's lots of opportunities to get in there. Then when you're playing the event, players will have to complete three matches to get the defenses. But this is going to be a pretty wild event, so hopefully folks will actually want to stick around on and play all day.
We've talked a little bit about it. Exactly how wild is it going to be?
The way it's going to work is that everybody gets divided up into three agendas. There's invaders, plunderers, and defenders. And during the event, there are one to three primary battles going where all three agendas are actually fighting it out over a larger than the normal battlefield that'll either be three or six players in those games. So they're big games.
Whoa.
And then each agenda has their own objectives. Like the plunderers are trying to steal cargo, and the invaders are trying to destroy buildings, while the defenders are they've really got their work cut out for themselves, trying to hold everything together and repel the invaders and the plunderers.
Good luck, defenders. Good
Right.
luck, invaders, too.
So then, meanwhile, there's a bunch of bounty tables that are one-on-one matches. And again, depending on the agenda you're playing, you'll have different objectives in the scenarios. But on the bounty tables, we've also got treasure chest objectives. And they don't count towards the scenario victory, but when you secure one, you get coins. And you also get coins if you win a bounty match. And then those coins can be given to the generals, who are the players in the primary battles. And the generals can use those coins to redeploy, destroy, to remove models into their force on the tabletop. Basically, they get to respawn stuff.
Yo, that is awesome. That's gonna make for some crazy games. That is definitely something I would want to play in. I love recursion.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty crazy. And then while those generals are getting these coins, they also get something called rush points when they achieve certain objectives, and they can hand these rush abilities out to anyone in their agenda that is playing on a bounty table to give them a little edge. So the interaction isn't just with the other player or players that are on your immediate tabletop, but rather you're interacting with everyone in the event, or at least in your agenda. So it kind of turns into this one massive battle, and everything is kind of going on in real time.
Insane. And this will all have influence on the Wayfair Weekend event?
Yep, we'll have the same
What?
three agendas in that legendary event, and then whoever wins here at Gen Con will give their agenda an advantage in the Warfare Weekend event, which we'll be announcing details of around the end of August. It's going to be the craziest thing that we've ever done.
Crazier than the Summer of Plunder?
In some ways, yes. I can't wait for people to see it.
Amazing. Gen Con sounds awesome. And we've had some stellar organized play and narrative events this year, and it only keeps coming over the top. So cool.
Definitely. We've got events going on for Monsterpocalypse with the exclusive convention center buildings, and we've got the Warcaster event and the Iron Gauntlet qualifier. So it's going to be a busy week for us in Indianapolis, and just can't wait to talk about it on the next show.
I can't wait either. Should we roll drums?
Let's roll the drums.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm excited to talk with a newcomer to the show, and hopefully not his last time because he is a podcaster himself. He is a competitive War Machine player, and many of you already know him. So, Nate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel.
I'm glad to have you on. I wanted to give you a chance to tell the audience a little bit about who you are. Of course, promote your podcast and talk about what just went on, which was the Siege Invitational, and how amazing you did at it.
Thank you very much. I'm Nate. I've been playing War Machine for about 10 years at this point. I've played while living in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and currently I live in St. Louis, Missouri. So I've played in a lot of
Nice.
different metas and met a ton of great people all across these wide United States. I've
Awesome. I
played,
love a meta shout out.
yes, I played Legion of Everblight for most of my time, but I've had my dalliances with Crix, Trollbloods, Signar, and Crucible Guard, and now Grimkin.
So, Nate, tell me about Blightbringers.
Yes, I am one of the hosts of Blightbringers with my friend Ryan. I was a frequent guest contributor. And then when one of the hosts had to step away, they asked me to step up. And I began hosting it probably about 2 years ago or so, and have a great time doing that as well.
So what you're saying is they brought in a ringer.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Awesome. So what led you to the Siege Invitational? Playing Grimkin, all of it sounds a little bit off the blighted path.
It certainly is. I started playing Grimkin in anticipation of Mark IV. I felt that with the change of edition, the resetting of a lot of models and abilities and rules, that it would actually be cognitively easier for me to play a new faction.
Sure.
And it also turned out to be, I think, emotionally easier as well.
Oh, relatable.
Yes, in the sense that I didn't go in with some, let's say, negative energy around what my models used to do or how
sure,
things used
absolutely.
To be, but really was able to explore and learn a new faction and just see everything with kind of fresh eyes, which I think helped me, a longtime player, make the transition and help make the transition much more easily.
You know, I did the same thing, and it sounds like we also transitioned into the same faction at the same time. So what faction was that?
That was Grimkin.
Oh, yeah.
That I moved to. Yes, they have always had my eye a little bit, piqued a little bit of my interest, especially in Mark III when they came out. Being a Legion player since Mark II, I just love the monster mash, like having a bunch of heavies, and Grimkin does that really well. And so that was their appeal to me. Also, just love, I really love the Halloween-y, spooky aesthetic, and I've had a delight doing hobby stuff with them as well, painting and such.
Oh, me too. Amazingly interesting, creepy, and so much fun to look at and paint, and a lot of fun to play. So you got it all together in time for the Siege Invitational?
I did, yes. The Siege Invitational is one of my cannot miss events each year. I've
okay.
gone since its inception in 2021, when it was really the first event that I went to post-pandemic, and it was less, it's a smaller event, and so it was certainly less intense than going to a large convention, but Terrence had everybody over to his house, cooked barbecue for everybody, and we just all kind of hung out together, and it
How
was very
awesome.
Social. Yeah, and it's kept that vibe each year that I've gone, and it's really incredible. It's one of the things that makes it so special. And shout out to the folks from Minority Report. I know Terrence puts a lot of work in cooking
Absolutely.
For everybody and hosting everybody, and Erica as well, his spouse. And Damon does some fantastic work on the tables, the terrain, the trophies. They had this Orgoth-themed narrative event this year, and the table was incredible. They had this giant wall of like lashed together. They look like lashed together sharpened logs, and all these like Orgoth themed guard towers and stuff on the table. And it was all fully painted and really, really incredible.
That is awesome. One day it's probably going to get a little too big to do a barbecue with the whole convention, right? It sounds great. It sounds like a good time. And you played in all of it, some of it, most of it. How much did you get involved in?
I ended up driving down Friday evening. So I just hung out Friday night rather than playing in the narrative event. But then classically, they've had a competitive event Saturday, and then they cut to top four or top eight. And then those folks play the finals on Sunday. And then concurrently with that, they usually have a smaller point level steamroller that they'll run concurrently. So everybody who didn't make the finals still gets to play. So this year they pushed, we had a turnout of 16. And so we played the whole event Saturday and then played a second steamroller Sunday at a lower points level. So it was a lot of fun.
Nice. And so let's talk about what you ended up playing. We don't have to get too much into the weeds as far as the list, but what were your casters and how did round one go for you?
Sure. So I, very early on when trying out Grimkin, I was drawn to the Wanderer as a former Legion player, all about moving my models out of activation, movement, tricks, kind of higher defense positioning has always been something that appealed to me. So he was a natural choice for my first to fire. And then I had been noodling around with a bunch of others and then finally tried out Old Witch when she was released a few months ago and found them to be a really good pair with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I brought.
Awesome. And so in round one, who did you match up against?
Round one, I played a gentleman named Chris from Alabama. He was
hey.
A newer player, or I couldn't remember if he was newer or just getting back in, having played in Mark II. We played Recon 2 on a really awesome like iced themed table with these like
Nice.
glacial things sticking up and everything. I'm just not going to stop talking about the terrain because it was so great.
I love it.
Broad strokes of that game, he was one listing carry two. So I felt pretty confident to drop Old Witch. And carry two is a caster who mostly wants to shoot. And Old Witch plus, it's sort of stacked in my list with all of the anti-range tech. So Windstorm, I have a couple Kravitz, I have Daneslayer for playing dead. And I was able to leverage that into a pretty solid attrition victory. So able to score that out after taking a lot of his pieces off the board. So that went really well. And we moved on to round two.
Yeah, tell me about round two.
Round two was a delight. I played Andy Bevenor. Andy, my apologies if I'm mispronouncing your last name. He's from Delaware. He's one of the hosts of Tried and True. We
Super
played
cool guy.
before. Yeah, we played before at Adepticon. He's a total sweetheart. We played King of the Hill and
He called you a sweetheart.
I did call him a sweetheart. played King of the Hill on a table with a lot of forest terrain and a guard tower and a bunch of stuff like that. And Andy was running, I believe, a Madrek 3 and Gunnbjorn in Creel Company. And I felt pretty confident that with the presence of Old Witch that he probably couldn't play Gunnbjorn, so I was comfortable dropping the Wanderer. And so the Wanderer played into Madrek 3. And that was that.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was a very long grind in the middle of the table. We played King of the Hill, so everything just kind of slammed into each other round two.
And nothing
And
dies.
well, almost nothing dies. Thankfully, the Labyrinth Arcana came in pretty clutch and basically won me that game, allowed me to keep one of my skin and bones alive after committing it.
Nice.
And yeah, so that eventually Madrek had to come in and kill some stuff, and then he got eaten by the skin and bones. So
That does happen. So,
yes.
nom nom nom, round three, what's next?
Round three, I played versus Shane, who is a brand new player to the game as of Mark 4. I know that for
Wow.
a fact. He is a Tennessee local. He plays Terrence pretty regularly, and he was playing Wintercore, and he had Borisyuk and Sivarin as a
Ooh.
pair. We played on bunkers, and this table was also awesome. It was covered with crashed plane and airship debris, has tons of
Nice.
obstructions. Yeah, it was so cool. So this match, because of the slammer and follow-up with Grand Slam on his Warjacks, and he racked, what is it, superiority? So he had superiority, escort, and then follow-up. So his jacks actually could threaten a fairly far distance, which isn't something that I'm used to seeing from Kador or Wintercore just more generally.
Yeah.
So this was a really like cerebral positioning intensive type game, and I think I probably key moments. He gave up his solos a little too early to contest the outside flags, and so after eliminating them, I was able to kind of collapse aside and then spiral that into a scenario victory.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a hard-fought victory there. And was that the end of day one?
No, the finals were, we did all four in one day. So one more
Ooh,
round on
nice.
day one.
So
Yeah.
tell me about the last round here.
So the last round of day one, I played Kit, who's from Georgia. He was piloting, I believe, Locke and Gearheart was his pair. So Crucible Guard. And I knew that I was going to wind up playing Gearheart. And I also knew from some past experience playing that matchup that this is actually a fairly difficult match for Old Witch and even more so for the Wanderer. More on it's the combination of Overtake and Berserk on the
Yeah.
failed experiments, which is a little, we in the biz call that foreshadowing. We'll talk about that a little later. Makes that pretty difficult. We played on a table with a shipwreck in the middle, which was
Nice.
awesome. And we played Spread the Net. So some really cool stuff. Kit, on his turn, his bottom of two, he had a really phenomenal play where he was able to get one of those failed experiments that was juiced up with Mosby's Fortimorphic Elixir. He got that unit onto my objective and then had the final attack made by one that he jumped over my objective using the new unit placement rules, and then that guy proceeded to overtake and reach my unit of playing dead naysayers in the side of my zone and berserk through all of them. So that this game was really wild. So I lost something like 18 points that turn and went down 3 CPs, and I had nothing to show for it.
Ouch.
Yeah, but stayed in it, played fast, and just prioritized like collapsing a side, which I finally was able to do, and continued to threaten Gearheart with Clockatrice. And I was able to really claw my way back into the game on Gearheart's feat turn, where I used the Shroud Arcana to keep him from killing the final member of a unit.
Nice.
And keeping him from jumping the feat. So we went all the way to bottom of 7, I think. Kit ran out of time on bottom of 7. I think he needed one more point to tie it up. So it was an absolute grinder, came down to the wire, and he played super duper well. I managed to take it by, I think he clocked, and if he hadn't clocked, I would have had it on scenario. So.
What a game. What a event. So you walked away first place. Pretty big deal.
Yeah. Felt really great for playing as long as I have. I actually haven't won all that much stuff. So it always still feels kind of nice.
Awesome. So what day 2 like for you?
Oh, well, day 2 was a 75 point steamroller, and I had brought my Legion down with me. So I actually played Legion on day 2. So round 1, and Terrence ran the day 2 event since it's more casual and more fun. Mm-hmm. He just had us roll a d20, and we got to call out our opponents and pick our first round in the order of what we rolled. So I called out Isaiah Zeke, one of the hosts of Minority Report.
Nice.
Who I have a blast playing every time we play. Like, Zeke, we're playing. And he goes, "You want to swap armies?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, let's do it." So round 1, I played against my own Legion. Zeke played Callus 2, and I played his Lucas list. And I had a blast doing it.
You guys are crazy.
Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. Round 2, I got matched back up into Kit and lost. So he got revenge for Saturday. I tried to assassinate Locke on her feet turn, which is a bad idea.
Mistakes were made.
Didn't work. I left her on 7 boxes, and then he just pounded Animag into a pile of
that
goop.
Will happen. Yep.
Yeah. Final round that day was against Mr. Michael Mooney, from Georgia, an absolutely hilarious dude and blast.
Long time player. Yeah.
Yeah. We played, I think it was Zadesh 2 versus Animag. And we had a blast. That one came down. I think there was something like only like 28 points left on the table at the end of the game. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Of the 150 that started. Yeah.
That's incredible.
So a great day for day 2 as well.
It sounds like it. So you walk away, you played well, you had a good time, you got to play a couple different armies. What's next for you?
What's next for me? So event wise, I think this is probably my last one here in the States for the year. I was fortunate enough to wind up on USA Team Redwood this year. So nice. I'm going over to Denmark to play. This will be my second year going to WTC. And I'm going with a team, just a bunch of great guys, like all my friends. And I think we're going to have a good time. We're definitely, I think, taking a less intense view of it than we did last year, all of us. Nice. So I think we're definitely looking to show up, you know, represent, but still have fun while we do it. And that has kind of been my approach to the game this year. I think because it's in this nice kind of reset phase and we're, you know, pulling in new players and seeing a lot of people, even at the Siege, a lot of people where this was their first big event that they'd ever been to. So really great to see new faces.
Awesome. You still playing the same armies? I mean, we're looking at Chimera. It's a pretty big deal.
Yes. Ryan, my co-host, and I we spoke about it already, and we basically just said, so on the flight back from Denmark, we're just going to like figure out Chimera, right? Because I think both of us are going to be in on it. So
that's exciting.
That's the plan. I'm excited to see more of it. I caught a little bit of it during that when Magnus was causing all that trouble and having those things pop up in War Room that shouldn't have been there.
Dirty,
So,
dirty Magnus. I'm excited for Magnus. How has the new Magnus spoiler, now that we've seen it go live just yesterday, changed anything for you? You looking at throwing that in a list?
I think there are a few really interesting places that he slots into other factions. And in particular, I think he's probably going to be a standout in the Steelhead Army, and Dark Operations are probably the two that come to mind. But there's some other places where I think he'd be surprising, like in Storm Legion and Winter Corps as well. I think there's some neat applications for him there.
I am overjoyed to play him in Orgoth, and it's been fun playing in the sprinklers with the legacy armies. But as soon as I saw Magnus, I knew that, like, okay, I've got two missions. One, play Magnus. I love big stompy toys, and this is one of the biggest stompiest toys I can get my hand on. And two, so I really like guns with anything that has a debuff, and Sabreth has crippling grasp, and I can put like Rack Windstorm to protect it, Fog of War. Like, I can't perdition it, but even still, like, I think it brings a really good shooting contingent, long range, big heavy hitter, and it's gonna be scary. I can't wait to see it hit tables. And with Gen Con right around the corner, I know people are going to get their hands on it and then immediately want to play it. So I can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts.
Yeah, no doubt. I was reading the notes about the release today, and I am pretty excited to see it on the table. The model looks incredible too, both of
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, Magnus with an RPG. So
them.
I make Primecast Plus, right? I get to see all this stuff just a little ahead of time. And when Matt sent me the stuff for Primecast Plus for this last one, I literally got up out of my seat, just started clapping. I was like, yeah, what? Let's go. Because it was amazing. And I hope I can do the model even a little bit of justice painting it, because the studio painter did such an amazing job on it.
Oh, yeah. And the Invictus also has a nice little wink to that old Merc starter with
Yeah, the
Magnus in it,
Renegade.
right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because he has the rocket from the
The
Renegade, the
bottle
saw from
rocket.
the
Yeah.
Renegade, and then the flail from the Mangler. Like, it has all those little elements in it.
Yeah,
It's really cool.
absolutely a great nod. For anybody who's been playing for a long time too, they're very familiar with Magnus. And also, just to be a first, so we've had other anniversary editions drop. We had the Hordes and the War Machine anniversary boxes that came out. But for the first time ever, this is a model that everybody gets a chance to use. So I have no doubt we're going to see it get used in a whole bunch of different and interesting ways that, nobody expected.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've talked about the new stuff. We've talked about some old stuff. We've talked about conventions. Is there anything your blighted heart would like to talk about on the way out here as a parting shot?
Oh, sure. Just everybody out there, go to bigger events. Like, even if you just play in a smaller group, if you play in one of your buddies' garages or basements. Big events have been great this year. There's narrative stuff at all of them, and there's a focus on making those bigger cons, I think, accessible to everyone. So go to Gen Con, go to Nova. There's tons of cool stuff at all of those, and absolutely go to the Siege Invitational if you can, and go to the Boker Brawl, one of my other favorites.
And go to your local Steamrollers and go play. Like, get
Heck
back out
yeah.
there and play again. Support your community. I know that a lot of communities have, boxes and boxes of prize support, and everybody's looking to give stuff away, and they just want people to play with and have people back in to the, loving arms and embrace of Mark IV. So get out there,
Absolutely.
get some games in, share the pictures. And I love getting tagged in. I get people who, like, DM me pictures on Facebook and Twitter. They'll tag me in pictures of, hey, look, I'm playing this game or this model, and I love it. Hit me up with it. I'll make sure if you're at Gen Con and you're having a good time and you take a picture and you send it to me, we'll get it up on the stories. We'll get it up on the feed. We'll make sure that you guys get that shout out, because we want to share that great Gen Con energy with everybody else.
Yeah. And if you're in the St. Louis area, keep an eye out. I'm going to be running the narrative scenarios. I think we're going to try to do three in one day. Make some lighthouses coming
Oh,
soon.
snap.
Yeah, real excited about that.
That is awesome. I love all of the great terrain that's going on, all the interesting tables you mentioned earlier. Here's my parting shot. More sunken ship tables, please. Boats and water and sand berms and the whole nine yards. With all the pirate stuff going on this year, I want to see boat tables galore.
There you go.
I'm going to have to make one now. And I got called out. Someone's going to show up at my steamroller and be like, where's the boat table?
Show me the boat.
Show me the boat. All right. Well, as is tradition, would you like to say roll drums?
Roll drums.